Right, very good. All right. Today I'm going to talk to you about wisdom. Stephen mentioned that, and it's a very important thing. If you please turn your Bibles to, let's see, where is it? Here we go. Matthew. Well, that's not good. Matthew 7:24. There it is. Just like to talk to you quick. Wisdom in the Bible, it's usually associated with doing something. So, like right here, chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So here we see that the wise man built his house on the rock. He knew that building the house on the rock was a smart thing to do. So he went out and acted upon it in a wise action. So I just want to ask you, how many of you could be considered wise by that? Can you be considered wise with your actions, with your words, or your thoughts? Another thing is wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Turn to Job 28, 13 through 28. Verse 13. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold or gold of Ophri, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. So basically, 13 down through for a little bit, he talks about how priceless it is. Now, in the economy class, we start going over why things are valuable. And it depends on its demand and its supply. Now, I don't know if you would agree with that, but I think the supply of wisdom is kind of lacking, I should say. And thus the price will go up. It's also in great demand, so price goes up again. So that's why he likens it as to more valuable than gold or silver or precious gems. All right, and in verse 27, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So as we see here, the fear of the Lord is what wisdom is. And by the fear of the Lord, you don't mean like cowering, running away, hiding in a closet, things like that. But it's like respect. It's just like a father-son relationship. It's like you respect your dad, but you love him. And you're not scared to go talk to him or anything. It's a lot like that. And all right. So what can wisdom do for you? Turn to Proverbs 10:31. Says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. So wisdom can help you from saying things you will regret. Now, I'm sure most of you have said things you regret and, well, regret them. But the Bible, with the wisdom you can find in the book of Proverbs and all throughout the Bible, will help you to know what to say, when to say it. And if you turn to Proverbs 11 and 12, page over. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. So it will help you not to make enemies of people around you. Even though you might not always get along with people, you need to do your best to get along with them, because that's the wise choice. And Proverbs 29:8 also says the same thing. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. So that's saying the same thing, basically, that a wise man, instead of doing something to get people more mad at them, will attempt to defuse the situation. Another thing wisdom can do for you is in 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. Second Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So another thing that wisdom can do for you, wisdom can save you. As I said before, wisdom in the Bible is usually associated with an action. So here we see the action that you're taking is to take the step of salvation. And that's really easy, actually. All you have to do is believe that Jesus lived on this earth, was beaten, crucified, buried, and rose again in 3 days, and you can be saved. But another thing wisdom can do in Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Wisdom can also condemn you. Wisdom can be found in nature. It's all around us. It speaks of God, and you don't have an excuse to say, "I didn't ever occur to me that there was a God." You have no excuse whatsoever. And when God asks you why you didn't believe on him, you have no excuse, because right now you are given the opportunity to ask him to be your savior. If you pass this up, you may not get another chance. So just keep that in mind as we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us. I thank you that I was able to come up here and share with everyone here. Just pray that you'll bless this time to follow, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, guys. It's interesting how those two thoughts tied in together. Stephen preached about pride and humility. There in 1 Peter chapter 5, we're commanded to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us in due time. It also told us there in verse 5 that God resists the proud. Literally, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. You realize when we talk about casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, it's talking about pride and humility. That's the context of those three verses. You see, each and every one of us struggles with one thing. It's called the pride of life. We don't like humility. We like to be exalted. We like people to pay attention to us. We like to be recognized. We like those things. We may say we don't, but the truth is we do. We like success. We like things to go well. We like those kinds of things. And to humble ourselves is against our sin nature. Because our sin nature likes to exalt itself. So, even when we struggle in that area of the pride of life, we can cast that care upon God because he knows, he understands, he gets it, and he cares about us. And then you take Alan's message, the idea that wisdom always involves an action. Why? Because the wise thing to do is to do what you know you're supposed to do. That's wisdom. For example, if you had a flat tire on your car and you walked out of church tonight, got in your car, cranked it up, and drove down the freeway, down the road, how wise would that be? Not very wise, right? No, that would be foolish. That's what the Bible would call it. The Bible would call it foolishness. Why? Because you have a flat tire, you know you should fix it, but you didn't. You're driving on the rim. That wouldn't be wise. The wise thing to do would say, I have a flat tire, it needs to be fixed. Wisdom would say, fix it. That's wisdom. So, if we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the wise thing would be to humble ourselves. The foolish thing would be to lift ourselves up in pride. That's the foolish thing. It's interesting, if you look there in Romans chapter 1, he read verse 20, but verse 21 says that they were not thankful, and because they were not unthankful, their foolish heart was darkened. You see, when you resist the salvation of God, that's foolish, and what you're actually doing is you're pushing yourself towards darkness. When God reveals his light to you and you reject it, you are pushing yourself towards darkness, and that's foolishness. That's foolishness. Guys, great messages tonight. Thank you very, very much. I hope you enjoyed being here. I hope you will stay and enjoy our summer picnic tonight. It's an inside picnic. We're not eating outside. If you want to, you're more than welcome to, but I will not be eating outside. But it is summer picnic. There are hot dogs and fixings and food over there, so you are more than welcome to stay. I hope you'll stay and let us get to know you a little bit and get to meet some of you that are new. And we're going to close in a word of prayer before we go over there. And I'm going to ask Mr. White if he will, let's all stand. Let's all stand and we'll close in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Mr. White if he will bless the food and close us in prayer tonight.